Good afternoon. This is the Senate Finance Committee. It is 1:35. With me this afternoon, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, myself, Senator McKinnon. Senator Machicki is in a committee meeting, as well as Senator Kelly. Before the committee today is the University of Alaska Board of Regent confirmations. Is there anything else to come before the committee before we start confirmation reviews? Seeing and hearing none, I'd ask Sherry Beretta from Eagle River, Alaska, to approach the mic, identify herself for the record, and provide the committee with opening comments.
Thank you.
Senator Kelly has joined us. Thank you, Senator Kelly.
Good afternoon. Thank you, everybody. Excited to be here before you all, and a little nervous, but my name is Sherry Beretta, and I am the chairman of the board for Chugach, Alaska for the past 17 years. I went to Anchorage Community College back in 1984, before it was the University of Alaska, and so I've always had the university in my heart. I have steered a lot of our efforts at Chugach, Alaska towards education in the last 17 years, and we have affected a generation through education and investing in our shareholders and our descendants. And I think it's critically important that the university is successful, and I know that in these trying times the financial situation is difficult, but with my experience at Chugach, Alaska over the last 5 years, we have a lot of similarities in that our peak revenues were about $1.1 billion back in 2009. And with the changes in the federal government and all the economic situation happening there, we've had to do significant downsizing. And for the last 4 years, we've stabilized at revenues of $600 million. But during that period of time of downsizing, we had to go through some difficult, challenging decisions and dealing with people. We have about 4,500 employees. And so balancing the continuing to provide a good service to the federal government while managing downward in your finances is critically important. And Chugach, Alaska Corporation went through a devastating bankruptcy back in 1991 on the heels of the Exxon Valdez oil spill that happened in the heart of our region. And so I think that we have been extremely diligent in our conservative approach, and I think I have a lot of experience with dealing with the financial part. That's my background in accounting, bookkeeping, and finance. So I just wanted to share with you that also, as in my experience, the ANCSA Regional Association was formed back in about 1999. Karl Marz was the first chairman for 4 years, and then I was the chairman for the next 4 years. And one thing that stands out in my mind with that experience that I had chairing the 12 regions is that education was the one thing, one thread that everybody could agree on. And of the two amendments that have happened to the 7I agreement, education was one of them, to allow for a deduction for education. And so I really believe in the importance of it. Personally, we have, for Chugach, we have invested over the past 5 years, almost $1.5 million in scholarships using the state tax credit. We have interns and apprentices that go to the university, and so I just really believe there are opportunities for my experience with the corporation. We're starting to look at our land development for supplementing our ability to continue to be financially solvent. So I'm excited about the opportunity and hope that you have questions, and I'll stop talking.
Thank you, Ms. Beretta. It's always good to see someone from my hometown. Are there questions from committee members?
I'm not sure.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Baruta, thank you very much for your ability or your desire to go ahead and serve. One of the things, what would you like to see done in the next 5 years or so, as I see that your appointment goes to 2022, during this period of time that you'd like to see in the university that would kind of take the edge off of the big bite that the students must be feeling now, and the state is feeling too?
I would like to see, you know, and I think some of these things are already in progress, an analysis of the systems, but creating efficiencies in the organization is critical, looking closely at all of the functions, and really looking at different ways to partner with the businesses that are here, including Alaska Native Corporations and other businesses that, you know, invest in the university, and looking for ways to partner and collaborate.
No further question, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Senator, thank you for your willingness to serve. There are many different approaches colleges are taking across the country to reduce costs. And during the downturn 07-08, one of the tools that some colleges used was going to a three-year degree. There's nothing written in stone that has to be 4 years. Would a three-year approach to getting a degree be something that you'd entertain as a regent? It helps save costs for the university, and it helps save costs for the individual paying for the courses.
Thank you. I think that you have to look at everything in this situation. You have to look at all, you know, what other best practices are happening in other universities and how we can be better and stronger. And so if it makes sense to consider that, I'm certain that the leadership at the university has looked into those types of opportunities. And, you know, I also believe in two-year degrees. I think that, you know, some of the challenges of our rural communities, I've counseled some of the youth to, you know, just accomplish at least that, get that to point them towards the university, because we have some real challenges in our rural communities in Alaska. So if a three-year degree makes sense, then I think that it needs to be looked at.
Follow-up, Senator Dunleavy.
In my background, I've been a school board member and school board president of the Matsu Borough School District, and one of the things that we instituted during my tenure there was performance-based contracts for the superintendent. In other words, every year we met in the summer for a usually 2 to 3 day retreat to line out what the goals would be for that coming year, to line out what the, you know, financial goals would be. Maybe we want to improve customer service. Maybe we want more a percentage increase in graduation. And we actually developed a contract for our superintendent that had a base and then had performance incentives built in where the individual could make extra money as long as we were moving in that direction. Is this something you would consider for the university? Because I could be wrong in this, but it's my understanding that they don't currently have a process like that. Again, I could be wrong, but this is information I've been given from folks associated with the university.
Well, in my experience, the board that I chair for the last 17 years has two real tools. One is the budget, and one is the management bonus incentive. And so performance is, I think there are ways to steer the ship. And so I don't, like you, I don't know if there is currently a performance-based incentive, but I believe in them. I think they work because I've used them to work.
Just one last question. If you can name, you start to talk a little bit about this, but if you can name three things that you would like to see happen with the university within your 5 years, what would they be?
Well, to get the budget situation under control and maintain stability, continuity, and high level of delivery of education to the students, to the, they're the customers, they're the ones that need to benefit. And really looking at past 5 years, looking at 50 years, looking at 100 years, the university needs to have a long-range goal of being here for the people of Alaska for the long term.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. I just sent a request because I'd had the qualifications that I read into the record before, so I would just advise the committee that under 1440.150, and continuing forward, it talks in Alaska state statute about the Board of Regents and the President of the University of Alaska. Board of Regents are serving for 8 years, so just so that we're clear on that. And there are qualifications for the student board of regent, but not necessarily for the regents overall. And then I move to the powers and duties, and that's under 1440.170, the duties and powers of the Board of Regents, to include appointing a president, fixing compensation of the president of the university, all of the heads of departments, professors, teachers, instructors, and otherwise, confer appropriate degrees as it may determine and prescribe, have the care, control, and management of all real and personal property of the university, including land. So Ms. Beretta certainly has spoken to her experience under the land. Ms. Beretta, we have a letter from UAA's Faculty and Staff Association, and it's in all of the members' packets. And you've heard some questions regarding to what they would like to see in their Board of Regents. One of that is experience with higher education as evidence by a particular level of college accreditation or a college graduation, and also a history of working within the university system or another type of system. Do you have any of that experience, or if you don't have that direct experience, can you talk to or restate how your life has qualified you to help guide Alaska's future in regards to the University of Alaska?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we have, Chugach Alaska Corporation has been fortunate to have to pay taxes to the state of Alaska, and so we've taken advantage of the state tax credit and really implemented our strategy of partnerships using that. But when I was the chair of the ANCSA Regional Association, Fran Almer, previous lieutenant Fran Almer, was a chancellor, and we worked with her to develop a resolution between the ANCSA Regional Association and the Board of Regents to focus the university on the history and the Lands Claim Settlement Act, to integrate that into the university. And so since then, through our continued support, we've been able to work through the School of Business at the University of Anchorage. And we've recently started a minor in Alaska Native Business, and Willie Hensley is working in that program, as well as Sharon Lind. And so I have chaired the committee that helped to make that happen. And what we're really focusing on, and what started it, is when Tom Case, Chancellor Case, was working as a teacher for a master's student, and he asked me to come in and speak, and I was basically appalled that so many of those master's students that were getting ready to graduate and go out into the workforce in Alaska didn't know about Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act and the history of Alaska Natives. And so I started working on that with the ANCSA Regional Association, and so I think, you know, 7 years later, we have made progress, and we are still working on those.
Thank you. Can you talk to us, with the current budget shortfall that the state of Alaska is experiencing, how you see the university's role in either requesting funds from the state of Alaska? How would you advocate for those funds, or how would you balance that with increasing tuition on our students?
Well, I believe there's the word balance is critical. So there has to be an approach that makes sense in looking at the university system entirely. And I think it's, just from the one meeting I've attended so far, it appears to be very well organized and well run. And I always tell people, in my experience, when you're growing and you're going great guns and you're adding people, it's all fun and games, but boy, when you have to start managing down, It's hard. It's hard because you're dealing with people and you're dealing with change, and people have difficulty with change. But change is, you have to have change and you have to manage it and be transparent about it. So I really think that being open and creating opportunities for people to give input on ways to be more efficient is a good approach.
Thank you. Again, back to the UAA faculty and staff letter dated March 16, 2015. One of the areas where the staff is looking at the Board of Regents and wanting to make sure at least that there's consideration and a question asked here is on the experience that you have working with large and different organizations, which you've already expressed. But specifically, the caveat on their question is, in which you rely primarily on consensus building among stakeholders rather than administrative mandates. So can you talk to us about collaboration versus a good business decision and how, if you believe the university is moving in the wrong direction, how you would try to collaborate with them versus providing mandates?
I didn't hear that very last part.
Versus providing mandates. Okay. Are you able to make a decision or will you consensus build?
You know, when I first started, I had this idea that everybody could just get along and do the right thing for the right reason. But the reality is people have agendas on board sometimes. And building consensus is really critically important. And involving voices and getting the best, the best input for a decision. But you have to make a decision. And if you don't, then crisis ensues. And so I think you have to have strong leadership, and you have to hire your management to do those, to make those decisions. And so I think that being communicating and talking through these things and looking at different models that make sense are part of that. And so, yes, consensus is important, but at the end of the day, you have to make a decision.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from committee members? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see you have a BA and an MBA degree. Did you get those from the University of Alaska?
No, I don't have a BA and MBA.
Oh.
I'm Sherry.
It's okay. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Hoffman, any follow-up?
No.
Thank you. Thank you so much for attending Senate Finance Day today. We appreciate you coming down and being here and absolutely respect others that need to be online that are away from the state right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next nominee before us is John Davies. Mr. Davies, if you could approach the microphone, identify yourself and any affiliations for the record, and then provide the committee some testimony on why you believe that you're the right candidate to be serving on Alaska's Board of Regents. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Former representative, sir.
Thank you, Chair McKinnon, members of the committee. My name is John Davies, and I'm, affiliations. I'm currently a member of the Borough Assembly in Fairbanks. And I'm employed by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center, although I'm not actually doing very much for them these days. I'm trying to retire, actually. My past affiliations, as you indicated, I served in the legislature for 10 years, from 92 to 2002, and I came to Alaska in 1967 to be a graduate student at the Geophysical Institute at the University in Fairbanks, so I've had a long association with the university. I after being a student there, I also was a member of the staff, research staff. I helped to create the Alaska Volcano Observatory and the Earthquake Information Center. So I have, and that was, and I was also employed for a short period of time there with the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. So I have a fairly broad experience dealing with public service in the state of Alaska. And when I was in the legislature, I served on the Finance Committee for 6 years and on the University of Alaska Budget Subcommittee for all 10 of those years. So fairly long experience dealing with budget issues. I was the chair of the budget for the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly for a number of years, too. So I understand the budget process, and I understand the difficulties that we have when we're downsizing as we are. But I also have a very long-standing positive affiliation with the University of Alaska system in a variety of different ways, and I think it's an important institution. I think it's important to our citizens. I think it's important to our economy, and so I think that we need to manage the reductions in such a way that it maintains an excellent reputation. That it does its whatever job it's doing, it does it well, and I think that the university can contribute to the. Softening the blow in the rest of the economy as we must reduce that as well. So I think the university can play a very positive role helping with this process. At the same time, we have to recognize that we have to also reduce the budget at the university. And I think that doing that in a way that is the least negative is something I think I can help with because of understanding how the budget processes work both here in the state legislature and within the university and understanding how the university itself works, having been both a student and a faculty member.
Thank you for those words. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you. Mr. Davies, you mentioned that you believe that there needs to be attention to the budget and you would want to deal with it in the least negative way. What would that look like?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not sure I have all those answers yet, having only been on the job for 6 weeks. But I've thought about it over the years, of course. I think that, the easy answers are we have to be more efficient, but what does that really look like? I mean, I think that some of those things are programs like distance delivery that the university is making strides on and is moving more toward. However, we have big challenges there. In rural Alaska, we don't have bandwidth to deliver those courses in their optimal way. So that's a challenge. I don't know if we can get over that hurdle so that we can expand those opportunities more areas in the state. I think that we're going to have to do a lot more collaboration between the campuses. I think that courses are going to have to be offered in such a way that the critical mass of faculty expertise that's there to deliver a course may have to exist one or two on one campus, one or two on another campus, and one or two on another campus, so that there's a much more close collaboration between those members in different places in delivering those courses. There will be places where we just simply have to prune programs. And the university is going through a very comprehensive program review process. That process actually starts with the accreditation process, but it's been sped up because of the current budget situation. And each of the chancellors is heading up a very close look at the priorities of those programs. I imagine that as a member of the Board of Regents, we're going to make some decisions to simply discontinue or significantly downsize some of those programs. But we have to do that very carefully because, as I indicated earlier, it's important that the university maintain a strong reputation so that it can be the best entity for providing education for kids, for doing research, for helping in partnering with a variety of state agencies to deliver the kind of expertise that it has in the past and should continue in the future to deliver.
Senator Dunleavy.
So... is it one university? Is it three universities? What is it from your perspective?
In my experience, it's one university system, and it's three major separately accredited campuses. And I think there's good reasons for maintaining that. But as I indicated earlier, I think that there's going to have to be a much more significant level of collaboration amongst those individual campuses, moving closer to more of a single entity. It already does a lot of that, but I see it as one system with three major units, and then, of course, community college campuses and other educational sites around the state that are coordinated under those major academic units. I forgot to say that, too, in addition to the three chancellors, the statewide administration, the system, is also undergoing a program review right now, and that's a process that started some time ago, probably too slowly with the Mataggart reports and the Fisher reports, but I think that, you're going to see that process sped up here in the next few weeks, too, so that we'll be taking really a very close look at the level of overall administration required for the state system and within the major academic units.
Senator Dunleavy.
The role of the Faculty Senate, were you part of the Faculty Senate at any time?
I actually was not.
What from your perspective, what is the role of the Faculty Senate in the policy-making perspective of the university?
Well, the faculty, of course, are a key element of a university. They are sort of your the element that you have that helps to do the research, do the teaching, do the public outreach, and so they're sort of your key employees. In a university, though, it's and one of the reasons why I think why regents have your appointments. A university has to have, by the nature of its mission, a very long outlook on things. You can't change direction very quickly because it affects programs that are in place. Students sign up to do a four-year program or maybe a three-year program, but whatever program it is, they have an expectation. You have, I think, a moral obligation to see that student through that program. So you have to be careful. You have to take a longer look at how you evaluate them. So I think that I sort of lost. What was the question? Where I was going.
How do you see the role of the faculty in decision making?
So the faculty, in looking at the effect on the students, you need to consult with the faculty because they're the ones that are in the trenches and understand the impacts of making different decisions. But I agree with Regent Beretta. I mean, you collaborate, you consult, you listen, the administration has to have committees that look at things and bring information back. But again, at the end of the day, the buck actually stops with the Board of Regents.
Senator Dunleavy.
You mentioned distance delivery. The university was founded, I think, 1918?
Thereabouts. 17.
15, 18. It was a long time ago.
There's a different ways of counting, but
totally different university and mission. The University of Alaska has a dual mission like most, which is the discovery of knowledge through research and then the dissemination through teaching. University of Phoenix, totally different. It's just a delivery system for educating folks. It's not a research model involved. That was formed in 1976, and at its peak, it had 600,000 students. And it's just a total distance delivery platform. Why do you think the University of Alaska, which geographically speaking, has folks all over the state, why do you think it, or do you think it could ramp up to some degree, like University of Phoenix and other online universities, to deliver education cheaply to folks all over the place? Why do you think the University of Alaska has not gotten to that point?
Well, I indicated one of the reasons, I think, is the lack of bandwidth. I think it does take time to ramp those things up. I think it is moving in that direction. It has the highest number now of 129 different courses offered by distance delivery. So it's moving in that direction. However, when you look at the utilization, a large number of those courses are actually delivered to students in urban areas. So, I mean, the students in the rural areas haven't been able to utilize those as well as we would like. So I think that I think part of the answer to that, though, is the University of Phoenix had the luxury of identifying one particular niche to fill and did so, and it did it very well. The University of Alaska has a much more complicated mission, I believe. In addition to being a university, it is also a community college system. We formally merged those two systems together, I believe it was in 87, somewhere back in that time frame. And so as a consequence, the university has to also deliver courses at the certificate level and the 1 and 2 year program level that other 4 year universities don't deal with. So it's a much more complicated mission, and because we are the University of Alaska, we have an obligation to deliver services to all Alaskans wherever they are. So I think the university does a good job of balancing that, the economies of scale of having one, you know, centralized campuses versus the importance of being able to deliver services to people who don't have the ability to travel because they already have a family and a job, but they need an extra certificate or some job training or something like that. So it's a balance, and I think we'll continue to do that, but it is perforce a little more expensive than just simply, you know, deciding that you're going to be a online university only.
One last question.
Senator Dunleavy.
At the end of your tenure, I think it's 8 years, right?
Right.
And you look back on it, kind of finish this sentence. You, John Davis, would feel like that you were successful if. What would be the three things, or that you were not successful if? What would be the three things that you want to see accomplished in 8 years?
Well, the foremost task that I would look back on and see that have some satisfaction was if we were able to deal with the downsizing of the university and the state of Alaska that's related to that in a way that when we come through that process that people still perceive the university as delivering value, as being a quality institution that's attracting students and faculty from around the country. If we do that downsizing in that way, I'll consider that a successful effort. I think the second thing I would like to see is that we achieve some measure of progress on the teacher training issue that's out there right now. This has been a struggle. I can remember discussions of this when I first came as a graduate student in 1967. People were talking about the difficulties of delivering, good teachers and educators into all areas of the state of Alaska and in the urban areas as well. And I think that continues to be a big challenge, and I think the university can play a role in that, but I think clearly it's going to be a partnership. The solution to that will come out of a partnership with the Department of Education, the 53 or 54 school districts around the state. So I think that's a really big issue that the university can play. You know, they're not going to play the dominant role necessarily, but they'll play a very important role in that. And I think the legislature is going to play a role in that too, in helping to make sure that people can, you know, that we'll have conditions so that people want to stay in those positions. I guess the third thing is my focus, and you know, I came through kind of an academic approach. I did an undergraduate degree in physics, and then I got a graduate degree in master's and master's and PhD in geophysics. But my focus, I was working out in Sandpoint on the Alaska Peninsula, and I was working at that time. I actually was doing a postdoc for Columbia University, but working with people at the university here at the same time. And I was working on a fairly abstract theory about how to forecast earthquakes. And it occurred to me that, you know, I was living and working among people that would be significantly affected if my theory were correct. I mean, I've been struck with this before, but at that that was a defining moment for me. I really felt like it was important for me to deliver services to people and to be outward reaching to outreach to do public service in addition to just doing academic research. So I think it's important for the, from my point of view, that the whole university have that attitude of delivering service where it can and in the best way it can. Now, that's not to say that it shouldn't do academic research. Clearly should. It shouldn't do really excellent teaching. It should. But I really think I would be proud of a really enhanced effort at public service for the university, more outreach. So those three things.
Questions from committee members? Mr. Davies, given the current fiscal crisis, revenue shortfall, however you would describe it, I've noticed that for the last couple years when the Board of Regents makes a recommendation on the president's salary or a bonus provision, that there's quite a bit of pushback inside of Alaska's media and negative comments. And President Gamble has specifically declined some of those issues based on what could be perceived as public pressure about that happening. We're in a time of scarce resources. How do you appropriately compensate or determine compensation of your lead at the University of Alaska? And in turn, the chancellors that are representing each of the major divisions in the university.
Did you ask about the deans first or what?
No, the regents, I'm sorry, the chancellors that are heading up the three larger.
Right, okay.
How do you justify their salary to Alaskans, or what will you do to make that salary in line with what Alaskans seem?
Well, clearly, we're in a difficult budget situation, and I think that we have to ask everybody to tighten their belts somewhat. However, the state of Alaska doesn't exist on an island, and the university is in a very competitive educational environment nationwide, when in terms of attracting good faculty for both teaching and research, and into attracting people to serve as president or serve as a chancellor. And so we have to be aware of what the market is. And, I think the same thing applies. There's a market for different types of faculty. And if we want to get really good, really productive staff at the university from the president on down, we have to be aware of what that market is. So there's a balance that we have to maintain between, what the sort of going rate is and what we're willing to pay. I do think that we still have an Alaska benefit up here, a cachet of being Alaska. A lot of people are interested in that. And so we have tended to try to set compensations and things like that at sort of 90% of the average going market. But, I think we'll continue to do something along those lines. We may have to reduce that number somewhat, and I think, I'll just leave it at that. I think that we all need to share in tightening our belt, but I think at the same time we have to be aware of what the market is.
Last question from me. Mr. Davies, given the situation of reaching consensus among stakeholders or making a decision, how will you decide what to do?
Well, I think I sort of answered that question a little bit earlier, and I agree with Regent Beretta's comments. I think that it's important to go out to the as broad a range of stakeholders as is appropriate or reasonable given the problem you're trying to solve, and to get as much information back as you can, because oftentimes it's the people in the trenches, as it were, that have a lot of information about what the right answer is. I like to work in a collaborative way as much as possible, but once again, at the end of the day, decisions have to get made. Come July 1st, we have to have a budget. The university does, and it's got to be balanced, and it's got to meet whatever it is that the legislature sets. And so while we can, and we will, and we are, through the president and the chancellors, reaching out and trying to get as much information as we can, and we're accelerating that process. We put in communication methods that didn't exist before so we can have that process work faster. But again, at the end of the day, it will be the regents that you know, the administration will bring a budget to us, and we'll have to approve it. And that's where the buck will stop, and the decision has to be made at a certain point in time, and it will be made.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to Senate Finance Committee today.
We thank you for having you us. Appreciate us. It.
I have been running alphabetically, and we do have a person online that I'd like to get to. Ms. Parker is giving me the nod that she's okay with that. We're going to take a brief at ease, and then we'll return for online for Andy Tuber. Just a moment. Brief at ease. Back on the record. With that, thank you, Lisa Parker, for allowing me to go to Andy Tuber. Andy, I hear you that you are out of state right now. You are an Alaska resident, and we welcome you to Senate Finance.
Thank you, co-chairs McKinnon and Kelly and members of the committee, for allowing my appearance before the committee by teleconference today from San Diego.
Mr. Tuber, do you have a few
comments? I didn't catch your question, Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Tuber, we're wondering if you had some opening comments on why you'd like to serve on Alaska's Board of Regents.
Thank you for the question. Yes, I. My name is Andy Tuber. I'm a Kodiak resident, a lifelong Alaskan, Alaska native, a father of three, and I've been blessed with a life that was created here in Alaska with access to the resource and the bounties that Alaska provides. I'm particularly interested in giving back. I work with the Alaska Native Tribal Health system and have the opportunity to travel around the state quite a bit. And I see that education is one of the paths for our community members across the state that will lead them from some of the conditions that we'd like to see enhanced. I think that education gives Alaskans options. I'm sorry for the sirens in the background. I'm unable to change that. But the opportunities that post-secondary education and really high school education provides for many of Alaskans' rural residents is going to be what allows the state to achieve its potential. I'm the beneficiary of a couple of degrees from schools outside the state, and had I felt as though the needs that I had at the time were able to be met in-state, I would have chosen to attend schools here in the state to try and open those doors and create those options for myself. I've heard a good number of the questions that have been posed by committee members this morning, and that I'd like to present or offer my responses to questions of the members at this time.
Certainly. Senator Dunleavy had to leave for some other business, and he is going to have you in front of his committee in about an hour, I believe, is what he said. Are there specific questions from committee members? Mr. Tuber, I'll ask you. From the UAA Faculty and Staff Association, we have a letter in our packets that are there recommendations for consideration on characteristics that we should consider during the confirmation hearings for the Board of Regents. One of those is experience working with large and diffuse organizations in which decisions rely primarily on reaching consensus among stakeholders rather than administrative mandate. Can you speak to how you'll use your skills as a Board of Regent to work inside of the university structure, but as an agent for change.
Thank you for the question. Yes, I have a fair bit of experience working with a broad and diverse group of leaders from across the state. For those members who may or may not be familiar with the tribal health system, it's made up by 229 tribes and 25 co-signers to the Alaska Compact. And each year we go through a process of developing consensus positions around issues of importance. And I would suggest that the Board of Regents is oftentimes required to bring diverse opinions and perspectives to a decision point where guiding the administration for the university will result in the best available outcome. So I think that compromise is always something that's going to be required, but the ability to articulate one's position and try and build consensus, I think, is going to be extremely important.
Mr. Tuber, can you tell me, under the current fiscal environment, what request you would make of the state of Alaska in regarding requesting for additional general fund dollars?
I don't know that I'm necessarily in the position to describe what request I would initially make, other than to say I'm optimistic about the prospects and potential for the university system. I've seen the work of our leadership, some of which are in the room with you, and I think that there's a commitment to ensuring that accountability is displayed and that the use of what is obviously more constrained resources is going to meet with the expectations and the standards that legislators and administration in the state and indeed the citizens of the state would expect. So when it comes to whether or not it would be prudent to ask for additional funds or to ask to retain the funds that are currently allocated to the university system, I think that I would need a little bit further guidance from those members or employees or, and staff members of the administration to give a thoughtful and meaningful response.
Any other questions from committee members? Mr. Tuber, thank you for joining us online. I believe your next committee hearing will be in education in just a short while. Thank you for joining us. With that, the last person under confirmation hearings today is Lisa M. Parker. If I could have you approach the table, pull the mic, and introduce yourself and why you'd like to serve on Alaska's Board of Regents.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. As you noted, my name is Lisa Parker, and I was asked to prepare a few brief comments about myself and why I'm interested in serving on the University Board of Regents. First, about myself. As a lifelong Alaskan, I spent my career engaged in public involvement and resource development. My public involvement goes back to first running and getting elected to public office at the age of 19 to the Anchorage Charter Commission, which wrote the charter unifying the Greater Anchorage Area Borough and the City of Anchorage into the Municipality of Anchorage. I've also been elected to the Sultan City Council and been engaged with many nonprofits as a board member and also raising funds for specific projects, including the Kenai Peninsula Food Bank and the Covenant House in Anchorage. My professional career includes working for Cominco Alaska during the planning, development, and initial operations of the Red Dock Mine. I served as planning director for the Kenai Peninsula Borough under Mayor Don Gilman and Mayor Mike Navarre. Was external affairs manager for Agrium's Kenai Nitrogen operation. I also helped organize the first non-persistent oil spill cooperative, Alaska Chateau Corporation, which operates around the state. Today I am employed by Apache Alaska Corporation, an oil company that works in Cook Inlet. Educationally, I went to public schools in Anchorage, graduating from Service High School. I attended the American University in Washington, D.C., where I received my bachelor's degree. Additionally, I have a certificate in corporate responsibility from Boston College, and I am a Harry Truman Scholar. My involvement with the University of Alaska began as a student at Anchorage Community College in the mid-1970s. Since then, I've served 6 years on the Kenai Peninsula College Council and 8 years on the Mining Petroleum Training Services Board. With that brief background, let me turn to the question of why. Why am I interested in serving as a university board of regent during this turbulent time? As noted in my letter of application, I want to work to continue to develop a university that attracts the best. With my background, knowledge, experience, and understanding of Alaska and its peoples, I provide a perspective which will be beneficial during the critical years ahead. I believe the university can be a key to helping Alaska during these challenging times as we all shape Alaska's future. Thank you.
Other questions from committee members? You can't get off without a question. So, Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Great resume. You and I have a little bit in common, as we both worked on some of the same projects, Tech Cominco and Red Dog. But with that being said, and in your background, oil and gas, I would I'd just like to hear your opinion on I don't have a higher degree. I got all my hands with a blue collar and workforce development, and I'd just like to hear your opinion John Davies talked about when we brought the community colleges back, and you're familiar with the good programs and the Kenai and the NDT testing and the welding programs. And how do you feel about those? And would you like to see those remain healthy, or do they need to be cut or improved, or just like your opinion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Bishop, I believe that the community colleges that are part of the University of Alaska system are a key component of the university system, not only to the university, but to the communities and where those campuses are located.
Thank you.
Follow-up, Senator Bishop? Again, from the UAA Faculty and Staff Association, we had a region, their goal is the region should be familiar with higher education and academic research. Have you participated in academic research, and how would you work to represent the needs and the needs of the faculty that currently are employed at the University of Alaska?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, through my work and my work that I have done, whether it was in developing the mine or at Agrium, and now with Apache, have spent a lot of time engaged in research and collaborating both with University of Alaska. We worked with them through Agrium on our coal gasification project, and currently through the work that we are doing with Apache and Cook Inlet, we are engaged with Alaska Pacific University. So specific, have I done the higher education, like Regent Davies? No, ma'am.
I appreciate your willingness to learn. We have about 5 bullet points on the letter that we received from faculty and staff, and one of the other issues that I highlighted when I read their letter was experience of working with large groups in the decision-making process. And the university prides itself in working and collaborating with all members of faculty, students, and being very inclusive in those decision-making processes. And can you speak to how you view that as top-down or bottom-up approach for your style as a regent, and then how will you either reach consensus or make a decision on issues such as tuition increases or salary freezes or a variety of controversial issues that might come your way?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As many of you know, I am a consensus-building person. I believe in building consensus and trying to, in a collaborative process, identify and solve the problems and not isolate individuals. when it comes to salaries, whether it is for the university or in nonprofits that we're engaged in or in the company that I work for, we have to make a decision as to, you know, what survives and what doesn't survive. And if we want everything to survive, then some of us have to take cutbacks in order to continue to operate. So I am a consensus builder.
How will you prioritize programs? A previous president of the university was before the House Finance Committee and talked about increasing programs over the last year by about 100 programs, 100 new offerings to students. And when then Representative Fairclough asked how many had been cut over the same period of time, I believe the answer was 3. And so how will you prioritize investments that the university has already made in this time of fiscal uncertainty in being able to phase down or prioritize what the university invests in?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's my opinion that the university that we know today, 3 years from now, is going to look very different. And I would, based on the work that all of the campuses have already started and looking at the programs and that they have in place and where we need to make cuts, I believe that based on the 500 programs we have today within the university system, we won't see 500 programs in the future. We have to look at ways to reduce the services that we're providing, and we have to focus on those areas where we have identified excellence, such as engineering, nursing, education, Arctic research.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Are there any further questions from committee members? Bless you. Thank you, Ms. Parker.
You're welcome.
For joining the Senate Finance Committee. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Finance Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Sherry D. Beretta, John Davies, Lisa M. Parker, Andrew Tuber. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmations of the individuals during any further sessions. Is there any other items to come before the Senate Finance Committee today? Seeing none, tomorrow morning the Senate Finance Committee meets Wednesday, March 25th at 9 a.m. We'll be hearing bills, and then the Senate Finance will meet again at 1:30 p.m. to continue our conversation on bills that have been previously noticed. Please stick around to sign the confirmation documents. With that, we're adjourned.